I would like to go ahead and invite Olivier to start us off by formally sort of presenting the communique. Well, Frank is going to do it. Okay, Frank Olkin from NSF is going to do this. So, Frank.
The communique begins with an introduction, which tries to set, to place the details of this in the context of the, in context. Okay. So the summit was co-organized by NIST and the Ontologue Forum. It was co-sponsored by some 50 institutions. And it was an attempt to bring together the various communities, that is, the computer scientists, the formal ontologists, philosophers of knowledge, librarians and others who work on classification systems, terminologists, etc., to discuss this sort of sprawling area called ontologies. And folksonomists. So there's been considerable debate over the last few years as to what is an ontology, and various different parts of the community have been engaged in detailed debates over this. And so the point of this meeting here today was to try to call a truce to this to some extent, and rather than focus on who is or is not an ontology, we wanted to focus on what are the different dimensions which characterize ontologies or ontology-like things, and so that we can place these different artifacts, controlled vocabularies, folksonomies, axiomatized ontologies, all these sorts of things, to place these in context relative to one another and to try to differentiate the different dimensions of what characterizes these and how these different dimensions are related to the different intended uses of these activities. So this is the beginning here. And then the core of the communique is concerned with the dimensions that we've used to what we call the framework here, which are the different dimensions that characterize ontologies. And in particular, the first of these is expressiveness, which is technically not a property of the ontology. It's a property of the knowledge representation language used to, or knowledge representation methodology used to encode an ontology. And expressiveness is, you know, what kinds of things are you allowed to say? What kind of relationships are you allowed to describe? Are there inheritance mechanisms, other sorts of things? What sort of reasoning are you potentially able to do with this knowledge, particular knowledge representation methodology? And then there's a related issue, which is structure, which is a property of the ontology, not the knowledge representation language. Let's just call it a language. So that you could envision a very simple structure. You might just have a set of concepts and their definitions, but you might encode that using, let us say, first order logic into a set of axioms. They wouldn't necessarily be very interesting axioms, but the point here is that the structure of an ontology can certainly be no more expressive than the knowledge representation language it's encoded in, or formal or methodology. It might be a graph or something like this, but it could be less, and it is often less for various reasons. To facilitate exchangeability and other sorts of things, we may adopt a more expressive knowledge representation language than we actually intend to use for a particular ontology. And so structure includes such things in terms of logic. The question is, are we using propositional logic? Are we using a description logic? Are we using first-order logic? Are we using a sorted first-order logic and other sorts of things like this? and or it could refer, and historically it's often been used in classification schemes, to the graph theoretic structure of a ontology. Is it just a set of concepts and their definitions, or is it perhaps a tree, as are many taxonomies, with directed edges, like where you might have subsumption relations or part of relations, or perhaps it's a multifaceted taxonomy in which instead of having a tree, you'll have a directed acyclic graph, or more generally something like UMLS, where you may have an arbitrary directed graph as you add more and heterogeneous kinds of relationships. The next dimension is granularity, and this is basically a question of what is the level of detail at which an ontology is specified. So you might use such measures as how many concepts or nodes are in the ontology, how many edges or relationship instances are in the ontology, or you might use measures such as what's the number of axioms per concept or something, or so all of which are measures of the level of detail at which you describe these things. So typically, upper ontologies will be described at coarser levels of detail. And at the other extreme, so these are often used for, or library classification systems, whereas at the other extreme, you might have something like SNOMED, which has hundreds of thousands of concepts, which is used for encoding medical diagnoses. Intended use is another dimension. It is intended to record the original purposes of the ontology. So the purpose might include semantically informed search. It might include data semantics specification for databases or data entry. It might have been created to facilitate data integration across multiple data sources. As I said, SNOMED was for a controlled vocabulary for recording medical diagnoses. So one of the points that we're trying to get across is that different purposes for ontologies lead to different design methodologies and knowledge representation methodologies, and different degrees of formalism, typically. Automated reasoning is another dimension in which can be used to characterize an ontology, and this records the extent to which you anticipate using some sort of automated reasoner or inference engine. And typically these are used, automated reasoning may be used in an ontology for no other purpose than to just check for consistency, to ask whether it's even possible to satisfy the definition of a concept, or it may be used for some sort of question answering capability. And typically, if you're going to do some sort of automated reasoning, it is usually the case that you will resort to some sort of logic encoding for the ontology. So perhaps descriptive logic if all you want to do is subsumption, or first order logic if you have more complex things. The next dimension is prescriptive versus descriptive characterization of the ontology. So descriptive ontologies are those which are simply intended to record the contemporary semantic usage in a community. So folksonomies might fall into this category, for example. And there's no necessary evaluation of the scientific correctness of this ontology. So, for example, a descriptive ontology might assert that a whale is a large fish, whereas a prescriptive ontology either would it be used in a legal or regulatory setting, or in a scientific setting, you might say, well, we've got people who've done phylogenies for a long time, and we understand that whales are not fishes; they're mammals. and a great many ontologies that are situated in legal settings, regulatory settings, accounting ontologies, engineering or mathematical, actually take the form of prescriptive ontologies. The additional findings fall into a couple categories here. One of them is governance. And this is intended to characterize how decisions are made as to what the content and structure of the original ontology was and how we make decisions about maintaining this. And governance can range from essentially complete anarchy in folksonomies to elaborate provisions for updating and revising these ontologies, which you see in big medical terminologies such as SNOMED and other sorts of more rigorous ontologies, or it actually has to do more with the use of the ontology. But one of the points that we had fairly substantial agreement on is that if the ontology is intended for use in a legal or regulatory or professional environment, there will typically be existing institutions which are engaged in creating concepts and specifying their definitions. These may be legislative institutions, they may be regulatory bodies, they may be professional bodies such as medical profession or the accounting profession. They may be standards committees, other sorts of things. In any case, there's an existing institutional infrastructure, and we suggest here that in these contexts where people are doing these more specialized ontologies, that the ontology developers will typically need to defer to the institutional actors, at least on the English language versions, or English, natural language versions of the definitions, and that they should see their role not as creating a new set of definitions de novo, which we think is politically unrealistic, but rather as attempting to systematize, organize, and perhaps formalize in, say, some sort of logic representation, existing natural language concept definitions. The other issue that we addressed is the issue of folksonomies and formal ontologies. And here we have two radically different approaches to the construction of these ontology-like artifacts. In the case of the folksonomy, it's sort of every person for themselves. You use whatever tags you choose to, and increasingly ontologies record the some sort of representation of the identity of the person who's using the tags, so that you can have sort of person-specific tagging practices, or effectively person-specific ontologies, and formal ontologies, which are carefully crafted and encoded typically in logic and things like this. We suggest here that folksonomies should be viewed as corpora for persons who are constructing more structured kinds of ontologies, be they taxonomies or axiomatized ontologies, and that we see these in the same way we see large text corpora as objects of study from which we may be able to infer more formal ontologies, and as corpora that can be used to validate our efforts to build more strong more formal ontologies. We also foresee the possibility that more formal methods of developing ontologies, be they taxonomies or axiomatized ontologies, could be used to inform social tagging, either by providing more, let's say, elegant tag sets, or by the use of faceted tagging, where instead of having simply undifferentiated tags, we may divide the tag space into facets. The other issue that we came to agreement on was that there was a consensus that ontologies should be viewed as designed artifacts, typically designed for some intended purpose, either to organize a body of knowledge, to facilitate search, or perhaps to be used by an inference engine for some sort of semantic computations. Depending on the and the design methodologies may range, as we said, in essentially no design in the case of folksonomies, perhaps, to very elaborate design methodologies in, for example, large structured medical terminologies. And but key to this was, we view these ontologies as designed artifacts, not as sort of natural things which we trip over or something like this. So the implication of this is that we're taking a step back from the notion that there's a single correct ontology to envisioning that ontologies serve different purposes, and toward that end, there may be different kinds of ontologies with different degrees of formalism, or they may have different content. And finally, there was a survey, or almost finally, in order to test this framework for characterizing ontologies, we conducted an interactive, the ontology summit organizers conducted a survey of anyone who cared to submit, but people who were involved in preparing for the summit, of people who were engaged in the development of ontologies or their use, and asked a variety of questions in which we essentially tried to populate this framework. That is, we said, well, tell us about the ontologies that you're working with, and tell us how they can be described with respect to these dimensions that we've just proposed characterizing ontologies. And we had 50 respondents from 42 different communities. The communities involved formal ontology, application development, standards ontologies. We had some people doing upper ontologies, other people doing more specialized ontologies, biomedical ontologies, folksonomies, general ontologies such as WordNet and OpenPsych. WordNet is sometimes seen as a linguistic ontology. And some very specific ontologies such as the process specification language, and a variety of different formalisms ranging from entity relationship models to OWL and various ISO standards, ISO 11179, for example. So there are links here to the survey, which is part of the proceedings to the workshop. And I'll just conclude here by saying that the point of this workshop was to attempt to identify important dimensions by which ontologies could be characterized. We proposed a framework. We have a diagram that you can look at that relates these things. And we applied this framework by trying to look at a number of major ontologies and seeing how they fit. We recognize that the framework is still fairly preliminary, and we invite professionals from various disciplines, either subject area disciplines or different kinds of ontologies or librarians or other folks, to contribute to this by joining the Ontolog Forum and by contributing the characterization of their favorite ontology to our survey.
Thank you, Frank. I think that was a very comprehensive coverage of what we had. We have started a little sign-up sheet here for anyone who would like to be a small part of history. If they would like to essentially endorse the communique as an individual, not expecting people to be speaking on behalf of host institutions, if you feel comfortable doing that, we would invite you to go ahead and put your name on this and email address, for which we can also use this for a practical purpose of ongoing communications should we come up with future iterations of such a communique. So I'll start passing this around.